Carol, I want to thank you for sharing that. We're talking about God's grace, and that is directly connected to God's grace, because one thing that happens with people who are filled with God's grace, they become generous people. It is true. And generosity is one of the signs of someone that has a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. And actually, our reading from Hebrews is going to touch on that as well. Follow along with me. There's an outline in your bulletins. Let's go through this. Some things I want to share with you about being established in God's grace. I believe this is going to speak to your life today. It's going to help your relationships with people. I have on my heart and mind something that's going to bless your marriage as well and really strengthen it. These are all things that are brought up in this reading from Hebrews. And it centers around one very powerful point. It says, don't be carried away by these strange teachings and doctrines. And man, there are just so many self-help books out there, right? You get on to Barnes & Noble, you get out, you look, isn't there just tons of them? Everybody telling you how to live your life. And you know, that what really gets me about that is there are always new and improved versions too, right? So God tells us that if we want to be rock solid, we need to be strengthened through our hearts, through His grace. He says, it is good for your heart to be strengthened by grace. Look at this translation from God's Word. This is the old Beck translation. It says, don't get carried away with all kinds of unfamiliar teachings. Gaining inner strength from God's kindness is good for us. This strength doesn't come from following rules about food. Remember, they were writing to Jewish people. Rules that don't help those that follow them. Now, the word that they have here about being strengthened, the Greek word is established. It means to be established, confirmed. And it's not the confirmation like what we have in the Lutheran Church where you go through the rite of confirmation. The type of confirmation that they're talking about in this case is where you know in your mind and you know in your heart what you believe, but you have experienced it, you have understood it, those promises have become alive in your life. You have linchpins in your heart, in your life, and in your mind where you can say, God did this. I saw Him do this. He got me through this difficult situation. That's what that chapter 11 is about in Hebrews, where it had all these people that trusted in God. Or it can be where someone is tenaciously holding on to a promise of God, and they're saying, no, let's say they're a young person, and I know young people like this from teaching high school. They are tenaciously holding on to a promise of God that God will lead them to their life mate, that God will lead them to the person that will be for them for their life because they want that. And that's one of the stresses that youth have to deal with. Am I going to find that in my life? And so these are the things that you want to realize that God is very much interested in. And you know, there are so many changes in this world. There's so many things that can just cause problems and difficulties and stresses. We fail to see that God's grace and love in Jesus Christ is a permanent blessing and strength to us in our everyday life. It never changes. It never, never, ever changes. I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, my son's cell phone broke. About a month ago now. And it was actually his fault. He sat on it and cracked the screen and stuff. And so remember the days, you guys older, I mean, I can remember these days. Remember the days when if you didn't have a phone, you just told your kid to go get a roll of quarters or a dime and you use a payphone? You know, you can't even find a payphone now. They don't even work. They're like museum pieces. So, you know, we got on it right away, and we looked up a phone that would work for him that his sister had that was on our same network, and it should be really good. So we ordered this thing. However, I did not understand when I ordered it is that the phone that we got, it required a very specialized SIM card. See, his old one had a regular SIM card. This one was a nano card. And so he got this phone. if you are a 20-year-old, socially active college student doing all sorts of stuff on the college campus, and you are without a cell phone, this is like nightmare of nightmare scenarios, man. This is just not going to work. Life just ceases to function. It's like living in with the dinosaurs. I mean, there's just no way. And then to make things even worse, right at that time when all this is going on, we had some friends that were flying in from Namibia. Namibia is a country that has like just over 2 million people in it, right? It's one of the smallest unpopulated countries in the world. They're flying into Chicago O'Hare after 2 night flights, so they're just wasted, and our son Tim is supposed to meet them at the airport. So we got no communication, we got no way to work this out. It's just absolutely not sure how any of this is really going to work. That's life. Now, to be established in God's grace in the midst of those sorts of everyday issues, those scheduling problems, those problems that come up that are oftentimes so much beyond our control, to be established means that we set in our hearts and minds that God is in control. That we've set in our hearts and minds, we believe that God has got this, that He is going to watch over this, that He knows, that I can trust Him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. And His love for you does not change. His care for you does not change. It is rock solid. And we have to learn the truth. Jesus gave this truth when He was teaching His Sermon on the Mount. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, He gave an example of two people. He said there is one person that built their house on sand. And when the trials and difficulties and all the hassles and all the things that come up in life came up, those just blew his house away and he didn't have anything left. It was a disaster. But then he said there was somebody else that trusted in God's promises, that believed that God's promises were able to come true and he was going to trust him. He said that person's house stood strong. It stands the test of time. One of the most difficult decisions that people have to make, and I've heard this from many, many people, is letting go. I've talked with people who are churchgoers. They believe in Jesus Christ. They love the Lord. And they will say, I just cannot let go. I'm worried. I'm stressed. I just can't believe that God is able to take care of this. I just can't believe that God is able to help. And we have to let it go. We just have to release it. We have to say, I'm not going to let that fear dominate me. I'm not going to let that anxiety dominate me. We're just going to have to let it go and say, God, you got this. You're able to take care of this. You're able to watch over me. You know, in that situation that I shared about Tim and the phone and John and Renee coming in, everything worked out fine. It was absolutely perfect. They got to their place. Everything was wonderful. And all the worrying in the world that we could have done and did didn't make any sense. But in the midst of that, we were constantly reminded and we were reminding each other, we're going to trust God in this. We're going to let God just move in this and we're going to trust Him. We're going to see what He can do. And God loves it when we do that. He really just rejoices in that He can just move and He can just have His way. And it's just a powerful thing for God to bring that to light to us. Here's an example I like to give you from Scripture. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, did He rise the first day? Was it the first day that He rose? You see, because when He died on the cross, as He was sitting there dying, He was beaten, He was in agony. His mom and His best friends, His dearest associates, had to sit there and watch this happen. And they were totally helpless. They were absolutely, totally helpless to do anything. They just had to sit there and watch this thing play out. And then, did He rise on the second day? He didn't rise on the second day. They had to live a day of agony and fear They were up there in their private rooms being afraid that they were going to be hunted down like Peter almost got hunted down, and that they might get crucified or they might get beaten. They were just terrified. They had to wait till the third day. They had to wait till the third day to see the truth happen, to see the glory of God appear. And it dawned on me when I was thinking about this, I want to be a third day Christian. I want to be a third day Christian. I'm going to wait. I want to trust God, because that's what God is telling us. God is telling us the third day is going to come. He's speaking to you and he's speaking to me, and he's saying, are you going to wait? Because this is where I work. I work through faith. Trust me. You don't know how your finances are going to work out. You don't know how your relationships are going to work out. You don't know how your health is going to work out. You don't know. The third day, will you wait? Those that wait, it says they'll renew their strength. They'll fly. They'll rise like eagles. That's his word to us. He says wait. He says trust. Jesus Christ never changes yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's a powerful truth. It is a freeing truth. It's the truth that sets us free. And when we walk in that truth, we walk in a path of victory that God gives us. And I did not say it's a path of victory that is not without problems. It is full of problems. It's just not going to take away all the problems in your life, but it is going to give you an anchor and a strength that is beyond what we can imagine. The second point there is that really what God is calling us to do is to begin or to continue to realize that God wants to use our lives as an example of His grace. He really does. This is the point. This is the purpose of the gospel. This is why when you were baptized, you just weren't beamed out of here. He has called your life to be an example of His grace. You know, some of us right here in this place right now need to hear God's forgiving grace. We need to hear it. You know, we need to have our guilt removed. You're wrestling to have a clear conscience. You need to be assured that whatever you have done or whatever someone has done to you, that you are complete and that nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. You need me to say to you that you are forgiven. God forgives you for your kids, your wife, your relationship, for anything. You need to hear that. You need to just glory in that. And that's our strength. That's our power. It is the glory, the wonder of the gospel. And then God is going to take you. God is going to use you. He's going to give you. He's positioned you in a place where He can use you to tell your story. You have a story. You have something to share. And you can see that story when you look at the readings that we had. He goes through and he lists a whole bunch of things about how God is going to use us. So let me give you some homework. Let me give you some homework as you think about it this week. This is what he says to these people who have been just engulfed by God's grace, and they know that God loves them, and they just can't wait to share that grace with someone. You know, they see how much God cares for them. He says, you know, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For someone who have done this, have entertained angels without even being aware of it. Remember those that are in prison as if you were there with themselves. You know, the pain and the suffering that you have gone through, God is going to use that as a way to speak into somebody else's life. That's the way grace works. So the things that God has brought to you in your life and given you the ability through His grace, He is going to use those to be a blessing and a strength to someone else. That's the way the body of Christ works. It's a beautiful thing. He talks about marriage in this section from Hebrews. Give honor to marriage. Remain faithful to one another in marriage. Oh my goodness, is that a challenge today? I'm telling you, my heart just goes out to this, and I come from a broken home. You know, my heart just goes out to this. And it's so important for us to realize that God's grace is greater than your marriage difficulties. God's grace is greater than the challenges or the problems that you face. You just need to see this. It's so powerful, so wonderful. God loves you so much. He cares for you so much. He cares for your kids so much. I saw a movie recently. And since we're talking about marriage in this, I just want to share it with you. If you haven't seen this movie, you got to watch it. And maybe just watch it by yourself. Maybe not even watch it with your spouse, and then later on you can watch it together. Has anybody ever seen the movie Fireproof? Nobody's seen it. You've seen that, Ed? Yeah. A powerful movie. Oh my goodness. It's done by a church. A church put it together. It's not a super high budget Hollywood movie, but the message of this movie is so powerful about marriage, and it kind of just develops. It shows how God is so loving. He's so involved in this, and shows how His grace can work in us in so many ways. You see, that's what the writer of the Hebrews is talking about. He's coming back to them and he's saying, you guys have been established in this grace. God did this not by your own works, but He did this because He loves you. And He wants you to bear the fruit, the joy of that in your lives. And when we do, we become a testimony to people in the world who are just crying out for someone to love them. Someone just to share the grace of God with them. A teen. An adult. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. And this is the body of Christ. This is how He's knit us together. And this is how the author of Hebrews is seeing this. Guess, by the way, how the author of Hebrews ends the book of Hebrews, the very last verse in the book. He says, may the grace of God be with you all. And I pray that would be the case. As God blesses us, strengthens us, and helps us to grow strong in Him. I want to assure you, like I was sharing with you last week, God is in this place. He is in this place. He is in your heart. He is in your life. And He has got good plans and good purposes for you. Trust in Him as He brings that to pass. In Jesus' name. Amen.